Hi, everybody. How are you? This is Veronica Entwistle. And I also have my guides and angels with me, and we're going to talk to you. I have you with me, the Radiance by Design of, what would we call it, a group, a community, people who really love to get together and share the fact that we're all learning to be conscious. What does it mean to be conscious? It means to have, just a moment, please. Thank you. Sorry, I was in a precarious position here. Being conscious is about being awake to your feelings, your goals, your orientations, releasing some of the darker feelings that we might have that are pushing against one another, learning to really love, learning to be the truth, the authentic nature of who you are. It's a big job to become conscious and, of course, creating with your mind, your thought, and your visualizations what the kind of world you want to live in. So many of us have heard that during this shift time, where humanity is actually undergoing tremendous potential shifts for the good, and of course there's a polarization going on, they call it the shift. And to me, that is a potential to move into living life consciously. And so often as an intuitive, what I do is envision the collective as this great big kind of seeming, steaming soup. And in that collective, so many thoughts and feelings have been resonant for a long, long time. And we breathe them, and we think them, and we smell them, and we pass them on. And it kind of limits us in a way, or as my guides call it, we can create, if we buy into the limitations that we breathe into, or we bring through our lineage through generation after generation, we, and through our reactions too, without changing them, we actually live in what they call a jail of limitations. And a lot of us who are trying to become conscious, or learning to become conscious is a better way to put it, are learning to step out of that jail. Instead of living in a self-imposed, restrictive sense of being, we're stepping out of it, and we're stepping out of it individually, authenticating ourselves, and we're stepping out of it collectively, finding that as we step out of it, as we learn to create consciously the reality that we want and to increase our lovingness and release so many reactions, our frequencies change. We become able to adapt to or bring in consciously higher frequencies and higher frequencies, and we really participate in a wonderful dance that's going on with our species, which is rising the fields and frequency in our individual nature. And then guess what? We pass it on, because everything we think and feel and so on, we pass on, and that's what the collective is all about. But you can get hold of a rapport with higher fields and with your own consciousness and with the people around you whose consciousness is also, we hope, moving and grooving. And Lord, there we are, changing ourselves, getting into the dance with universal frequencies, and we're changing and changing. And what we've heard is somewhere along the way, we'll actually turn life on our planet into heaven on earth. That means, to me, it's going to be a life where it's win-win, and where we husband resources, where we care about Mother Earth, and we care about one another. My, that's a big job. But we're doing it, right, everybody? You're doing it. I'm doing it. We're all really trying to do it. And then so many people are losing their jobs, or their systems that are crumbling, or people are freaking because Goldman Sachs has all the loot, or a number of things that we don't feel powerful about. Yet by the same token, many, many, many people are developing their own way of earning money, of creating commerce between one another, of supporting themselves in unusual entrepreneurial or authenticating ways. And thank heaven for the internet. Thank heaven for the computer, where we go in and we click in with each other and learn how to empower ourselves. There's an awful lot of very unique creation going on. Anyway, that's not what I wanted to talk about, but in a way it is. Yeah, in a way it's a perfect metaphor, because what I wanted to talk about tonight is mothering, that absolute term that we all, how many of you here, you can raise your hand, how many of you are mothers? Aha, there's quite a few of you. How many of you have ever had a mother? Aha, looks like just about everybody, right? So we're going to talk about mothering, and Jackie's show always dedicates the show. So I thought tonight, you know what? I'm going to dedicate this show to mothers, mothers who are already gone. For those of you who have lost your mother and she's already departed, or maybe you're older and she departed a long time ago or whatever. And those of you who are mothers and your children are all grown up. And those of you who are trying to raise children now, just those who are trying to raise children now. Or grandmothers, heavens, that's a great thing too. So even you guys have had mothers, so you know a lot about mothering, and also we're learning a lot about the rise of the feminine aspect of our nature. So that brings you guys into full force in the mothering role. What is mothering? So many of us had babies before we, what would we call it, before we developed our consciousness of our own personal authenticity. Before we had cleared out a lot of the vibrational programmings of the lineage, before we had taken out of our very belly, which is the second chakra that houses karma, everything left over, before we had really neutralized that whole area, we become impregnated, and then there in the womb, there in the second chakra, this child develops, it wrapped up in the weaving of who knows what's in the lineage, all the thoughts and feelings and reactions and limitations and fears and hoo-ha that our mother had held in her lineage. So what happens is we have a child who has made part of its structure a lot of the lineage, and I suppose that's how we kept the species kind of in sync. Now, what else develops this child? It's not just what's in your belly. It's also, this child is a spirit, is a soul, very strong soul very often, right? Who's come in and has chosen you. For what reason? Maybe he had a sense of humor. But actually, I was thinking more that the reasoning is often to, well, for a number of things, is to be in the situation where it can come through and in the nest of your home environment or its home environment, be pushed and pulled and prodded in order to flush its gifts up. The other thing is sometimes it comes into complete kind of karmic things or cellular ties. There are those who believe, and I'm not sure I believe this, but I'll pass it on. There are those who believe that families are born over and over again together, but sometimes you'll be the mother, sometimes you'll be the great uncle, sometimes you'll be the kid. That we take all these different roles on. And I'm not sure if families are born together over and over and over again. I'm not sure. I think they are sometimes. But in any case, if that's so, what happens is your spirit, the child's spirit, comes in to reconnoiter with these beings, with these relatives, in order to complete perhaps different reflections of how it could be. Perhaps very creative. Some of them come through, like Nijinsky is a great dancer. His child came in with his toes already ready, meaning he didn't have to practice until his toes could handle. Nijinsky was a ballet guy, wasn't he? Anyway, his toes were already ready to do the dance, and this was the spirit that came through a very famous dancing father in order to be an amazing dancer. Now, I really don't know much about the success of that child, but in any case, it tells me that the spirit came through wanting the genetics to carry on with the dancing. Some of us were born into adversity. Many, many people on our path, which is a metaphysical path or a self-authenticating path, have come into families in which we're the oddballs. Raise your hand if you're the oddball in your family. Aha! I would say about two-thirds of you. What do you think? Well, we can take a vote after and see if I'm right. But in any case, those of us who are odd came in, and I was taught this many years ago by a wonderful teacher, that most families have someone who's the disruptor, and this teacher taught us that it was the healer. The healer is somebody who disrupts the family's fabric in order to shift perceptions, in order to shift how the limitations repeat themselves over and over again. So through the adversity, because sometimes it's a reaction against that person being different, Or sometimes it's not adversity. The person comes into a difficult family and begins to find a really clear, light-filled path. I mean, it's really interesting how the dynamic of these spirits work on the collective of the family as well. So let's see, what else? I think what we're going to do tonight is have your calls about your family situations. If you have any kids or relatives with kids or people that are trying to work things out in the family, I'd love to talk with you about that. My guides and angels would love to talk with you about that. I had a call last night, one of my sessions yesterday, with somebody who's working with her. She has a very, very wonderful son. She's really close to him. He loves to travel and so on, and he's got a really good job right now. And he's in a relationship that is very toxic to both of them, and yet he can't seem to get himself out. So what I was watching with this child, who's now, I think, 29 or 30, I was watching that he is in this relationship to complete a whole kind of karmic entanglement with this other soul, and how fascinating it is that when he finally breaks free, he's going to take off, he's going to travel, and he's going to do a worldwide entrepreneurial thing, going to get out of a very restrictive corporate job. I don't think he's going to be dumped out of it either. But what I was fascinated by is, though the mother was very worried about her son, because he himself expressed that it is a toxic relationship, and she sees his long-term suffering in it, over and over and over again, trying to get away, not able to get away. What was really interesting is two things. One is, when your relationship is very karmic or very cellular, in order to complete some kind of bargain that wasn't done, and in this case, she had died in some kind of situation where he couldn't save her, nor could her father save her. So the pulling and pushing between them in relationship was a deep feeling of, I can't leave or I'll die, or I can't leave or she will die. Now, where does that come from? That comes from a soul experience, which is trying to seek some kind of neutralization. The solution is not to stick together so she won't die. The solution is to, it's never that simple, is really to get away and do a lot of meditation or energy healing and so on in order to remove the impact or the drive of that soul drive from within this person. Another interesting thing about that is, I said to her, well, this young man has gastrointestinal pain as a result of the relationship. It's a deep, deep consternation, and I could see this sort of pivoting tension in the second chakra over to the left of the navel. Now, the second chakra is where we house karma, subconscious stuff, leftover things, and so on, all kinds of attachments with people. She said, oh, no, he doesn't have it. Near the end, she said, oh, my goodness, I forgot. He was telling me that he gets these really terrible gut pains whenever he's trying to break up with her. And it's sort of interesting because that's like a, it's like a teaching tool, isn't it? If you could actually see that happening, you get the sense of how these programs are stored in our body and how they do erupt in a physical dynamic in us when we're trying to deal with something that's subconscious. You got a lot of clues in your body. So let's draw back. This helped the mother a great deal, incidentally. The conversation with the guides around this kind of subject helped the mother release her own fears and tensions when we went into some potential predictions, because I never believe predictions should hold. But we managed to unhook her fear of the mindless approach he was taking to remaining in a toxic relationship and begin to watch the progress of what was really being gained by this relationship, which I think I said, but I'll say it again, once released, will send him off to find his own direction and his own light, where he also finds his Princess Charming, who's not difficult, who's not karmic, who is really very, very light and so on. I don't need to go on and on. So the first thing we're going to do is our meditation. I love to do the structure meditation. And then I really hope that we'll have callers. interesting callers, as we usually do, or you can email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, no H in Entwistle, it won't come through, and we'll talk to you about your situations, and I'd like us to focus tonight on mothering. One of the reasons I was saying that I wanted to focus on mothering, is I have a couple of very dear friends. I forgot to say this part. I have a couple of very dear friends who, in their family systems, even though their kids are now 25, I think one of them is close to 40, there's a lot of resistance to the mother. And the amount of pain these women go through, and I have also experienced my own version of that, the amount of pain these women go through because of the attachment to the child and our expectations. But we're going to get into that after our meditation, and I hope we're going to get into situations that you yourself find yourself in, trying to understand the role of the mother. Yeah. I guess it's conscious parenting, but you know what? This is a subject that is as old as humanity. I'm sure Eve had a few problems. And the other thing about mothering, I just want to say this at the very beginning, and then we can say it again at the end, is when we really learn, we can feel mothered by the universe, by spirit, by the divine feminine, even by the divine masculine, by creator spirit, can't we? But that's something that we need to learn to trust. And I'm not always great at that yet. All right, everybody, let's close our eyes and do our meditation. It's above your head, perhaps 2 miles. Let's see a golden ball below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And now drop a filament of light from the upper golden ball through your spine and into the lower golden ball. We'll use a more feminine structure since we're talking about mothering. Now from the upper golden ball to about waist height, oh no, I'm going to change it around. Around the waist height, about 20 feet out from your body, create a circle of golden balls, beautiful shiny circle of golden balls. Oh my, they're pretty. And now from the upper golden ball to this circle, drop a myriad of bright pink strings of light. Not Christmas lights, just filaments of light. Well, you can use Christmas lights if you want. And then do the same from the series of golden balls to the lower golden ball. So you're in a canopy pointed up and a canopy pointed down. And now inside of that, you have a crystal ball. And the outside edges of your crystal ball nudge the inside edges of your bright pink double-pointed canopy. And then inside of that, there you are in a double tetrahedron. That is 3-sided pyramid pointing up and a 3-sided pyramid pointing down. So the whole thing is like a 3-dimensional diamond. And you're inside and we're going to spin and spin and spin. Spin and spin. Doesn't it feel great? Some people get really dizzy. It's wonderful. And now watching the screens and magical screen in front of you, the first screen is about you and who you ideally will become. This is who you want to be. I always want to be multidimensional, but here I'm talking about mothering. I would like to see myself experiencing and sharing the kind of mothering that is a very conscious, non-reactive, but radiating the support, hearing, seeing, knowing, understanding, the spiritual alignment with my children. Yeah, and without too much stress. What is it you like to see? Now wrap that in light and move to our next screen. And in that screen, I want you to do a little movie on what it is you want to create in the world. Good work. And see the resources coming to you. See yourself making a plan and actually bringing the thing into fruition, whether it's a family, whether it's a situation of mothering, whether it's a job or a book or anything that you want to create. And see it coming to fruition and you're smiling and enjoying it. and those people that are involved in this experience are there. They're coming easily and effortlessly. And you see the success of your project. Good. And you just see it being fueled over time by more and more resources, so it's self-sustaining. Maybe it's sustained by spirit. Who knows? Now we'll move to the next screen, and we're going to ask, wrap it in light so it can continue to perk. Now the next screen is the healing, the Galactic Healing Center. I love to go in there, call in your team, your healing team, and have them circle around your table. And now you lie yourself on the table and ask your healing team for something that you need. What kind of healing do you need?
Your head?
Mm-hmm. All right, and ask them for some advice for you. And what are they doing? Are they pulling things out of you? I feel like I'm being infused with a certain kind of a blue light right now, which I think would be very nice. Especially if it showed all day tomorrow. Mm-hmm. What's going on with you? And thank them very much and ask if there's any little message for you. You might want to write that down. And now let's bring in another, have the team replicate themselves, have another healing table, and bring in somebody who needs some help. I see an older woman, and she's really panicking. She's on too many supposedly life-supporting drugs, and there's a lot of interaction going on, and she also she's not totally with it mentally, but it seems like in her panic, the resources that she has in her thinking and in her feeling are badly used. You know how it works when we panic? I just want to see her be calm and talk about infusion. I want to see the team infusing her with light and protection. And bringing in a lot of alkalinity, because whatever they're giving her, even the nature of the food, is very acidic. Mm-hmm. And then as they work on her, we see her becoming more and more peaceful. And wrap her in light. And then we'll do another, and we'll send that picture on its way. We'll do one more healing table and one more team. All right, now who would you like to bring in? Excellent. I have someone here who wants to come in. Sometimes you have somebody come in when you set up the healing room like this, and you don't even know who they are. You just work on them, join the team, and help with the job and hold the light on it. That's right. And I'm seeing this one be worked on. He has a lot of body pain and so on, but they're working on his brain as well. Remember this, that the temporal lobes, certain parts of the brain really are in charge of body pain. So, and also our attitudes and our emotions and our patterns very much can control or create those things. So the fact that that team is working a lot on this fellow's brain and working on the two organs that are really having difficulty and even his legs makes a lot of sense to me. What's going on in your world? And then we'll wrap that in light and ask the team to continue until there's a natural cessation point. And let's do our political one. Let's bring in, who can we bring in? You want to bring in Obama? Let's bring in Obama and see if we can't raise the light in him and strengthen him and surround him with light so that he can carry out a stronger, his stronger ideals. How's that? Yeah, I'm trying to tell him what to do. Actually, I just know that he had a lot of great ideals, and it seems pretty hard for him to maintain those when he's in the throes of the machine. That's what I'm seeing. So you can argue with me. I don't mind. So let's just send the light to him and to his family, to the White House. Actually, let's do the pink light that's coming in through the top of our head and out through our chest, and this strong and strengthening ribbon of light goes through the White House, the Pentagon, you know, goes through Congress, goes through the Senate, goes through all the people that are related to our government at this time. Yes. And now let's have it flood all over the place. Let's have it go to Haiti, where those transitions are really confusing and tragic and terrifying. Oh, my. And we're going to have it send harmony. Mm-hmm. And then let's have this pink light dash around the world and absolutely irradiating those places that are where there's massive suffering. Of course, there is all over the planet, but you know where there are those hot spots. Mm-hmm. And have it go around all over the world. We have the capacity to support Mother Earth in her time of transformation as well. We have the capacity as a species to think beyond our own limitations. Remember the jail of limitations? So let's send the light all over and pray that that's what's going to happen. And then come bring the light back into your chest. And, oh, we forgot to close off the Galactic Healing Center. Close it off. All right, and now jump back into your double tetrahedron. Remember, for those of you who keep forgetting, it's a three-sided pyramid sticking up and a three-sided pyramid sticking down, and they stick together in their fat parts so that you're in a big diamond. And you spin and spin and spin and spin and spin until you come back into the room with me. Yes. That was really, for me, it was really delightful what happened with you. And I don't have the number with me as usual. I always forget to bring it. You'd think I'd know after week after week. Anyway, this is time for you to call in if you want to. I'm just going to keep talking about what we're talking about now is conscious mothering. The call-in number is 888-815-9756, 888-815-9756. And one of the interviews I was listening to just before this show was a woman, golly, I think she's called Sai Ma, something like that. She was being interviewed on Conscious Media Network, and she was talking about something which really interests me, which is when you're going to have a baby, when you want to have a child, what you want to do is make sure that you eat consciously, breathe consciously, think consciously, purify, 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 because, as she said, then you attract the higher frequency spirit. So then, and I laughed because I had a surprise child, and I was not in that kind of radiant nature that she's talking about. She's talking about, and I know there are other people that do this, a teacher in Canada who runs an ashram, I believe, in Cranbrook, B.C., and they work with the spirits on the other side so that they purify and purify and also align with the spirit that wants to come through. By that, what we mean is that they choose the level of consciousness that they want to bring through. Now, I would wager a guess that 99.999% of you did not do that. And I could be wrong. You could be all extremely enlightened beings, but I sure didn't do that, I'll tell you that. I had a surprise child. I was at 41, but it was after having had huge devastation in my life, and I was really quite, it was one of those healing times which turned me into a psychic, I had always had a passion for God, but I had never sort of thrown myself into the metaphysical world until, well, I had to a degree, but I hadn't thrown myself in until I totally came apart. I had a lot to deal with at 32. From between 32 and 35, it was just like cascading karma, if you will. All kinds of soul stuff, things that just tore me apart over and over and over again. And it took me a long time to recover. So when I had the surprise child at 41, A, I didn't think I was going to be having children at all. B, I was not prepared. I was not being conscious all the time. I was conscious of getting better. I was studying alternative health. I was step by step pushing myself through kind of waking up, and my nervous system was really fragile. And I'd had a lot of, and I'm not really just talking about me, I'm saying here's an example. I'd had a lot of family stuff that I'd had to deal with. I was the oddball in my family and had a mother who was very traumatized with life and so on. So what was in me hadn't been cleared out yet. See what I mean? So I had a child who's absolutely a wonderful, wonderful, dynamic child. But in her teenage years, she went awry. And I've met a lot of, she's wonderful now, but I've met a lot of young women who tell me that they did the same thing. Now, it was very, very hard for me because I feel that I wasn't present for her in a nice, well-rounded, father-knows-best kind of mothering way or conscious mothering way when she was small, although I was absolutely in love with her and that we did a lot of the right things, you know. But in any case, I realized later that she had to act out rejection of my, I think this is quite true actually, rejection of my incredible vulnerability, because she was a girl person and did not want to be like that. Jackie Steen said that it's very difficult for those of you who don't know, Jackie's show is on right after mine, and she and her team work on a show called ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. And I was talking to the team, who's the channeled group, and what was I saying about that? They said that it's very, very difficult for a child to have a parent who has a really big soul journey. I don't know if that's true all the time, but I suspect it's true some of the time. So if any of you got that experience going on, where you have a very big soul journey, you want to do some performance, or you want to do some healing work and so on, and your children feel somewhat daunted by the fact that you're so out there or you're so dynamic. Anyway, I really feel like my daughter came in to, what would we say, I think that she's extremely dynamic. She's very different from me, and I think she came in to prime herself for being an authenticated kind of a teacher person. And I don't like to do readings on my own daughter because it seems like it kind of controls her at some level. But my feeling about her is she's such a dynamic, very beautiful, dynamic, stubborn character that she's got something big that she has to put forward, and she can't be a wuss. She can't be weak about it, can she? She has to be strong. So anyway, that was my mothering experience. Oh, the other thing about mine was that I was afraid of my ability to be a good mother. So that gave me kind of a trepidation around her about not wanting to push this or that or not wanting to discipline enough. And I really think that created some problems for her of feeling maybe afraid. Anyway, the people that I was talking about that are having problems with their kids are women that have been very dynamic but maybe didn't have such great self-esteem. And as they get older, their kids don't really want to do anything with them. They don't want to be with them. And it's really a question of, to me, it's a question of whether this child has come in, kind of like I was with my family, to either be pushed out or push oneself out of the family gathering in order to dynamically create themselves in a way that isn't subject to what the family is like. What do you think of that? So in both of these cases, I watched the mothers, and I grieved when my daughter had to do her thing. but watching the mothers be disrespected or not just that, is that the mother seeks the child and wants to see her child. Another friend of mine said it's interesting that our children are the most important people in our lives, but we're not in theirs, and it's supposed to be that way because they start having their own children, and it goes down like that. So we seek and we ache for the presence of the children, but they don't necessarily seek and ache for our presence. I think that really helped me a lot. But looking at my friends who are suffering, I know exactly what that's like. And when I look at their children intuitively, I can sort of see where, especially with girl children, it seems like where the mothers were frail, the girl children seem to be really, really frustrated with the mothers. That's really simplistic, but it's like we're their role models, and where we look like in this time of incredible change that we're not able to carry the rock uphill really well or individuate. A lot of us were single parents handling all that. The girls just feel so vulnerable and angry that they react. The other thing is, what is it that's in their destiny and in their soul journey? It seems very important that this is slightly a different subject, that we nurture their uniqueness, that we really nurture them into them, their being able to be authentic, their being able to be absolutely true to themselves and to uncover those amazing gifts that are maybe hidden, like geodes, those rocks that look like they're maybe granite on the outside and you knock them apart and there's this amazing crystalline process. You know, sometimes our gifts are like that. You have to really be thumped and bumped around by life in order to find where those crystalline gifts are. And that's the hardest thing, for us to raise our children to be in truth with who they are can be really soul-shattering at times, because we see them, you know, walk through their own fires, and we don't want them to. We want to protect them. Guess what, ladies and gentlemen? We can't protect them. And how many people on the planet really want to break out of this, really want to break out of the collective, really want to become authentic, and really want to break out of stuff that's been trained? Not that many. Some of us do by nature from birth on, and maybe that's why some of us who are like this, who wanted to break out, have children that want to break out, and they want to do it their own way. It's kind of interesting, isn't it? Well, are you going to call in or not, you guys? Come on. I want to talk about your children. Okay, I'll pick on you, and I'll talk about you behind your back here. Let's see. one of the things I want to say is that a lot of the children that are coming in these days, as you know, are coming in with a really strong intuitive capacity. One of the things they're doing is coming in with being quite awake. Most of the process of listening to Radiance by Design, most of the processes that we teach are about awakening from the trances that have been, either that we've ingested for one reason or another, or that have been imposed upon us. And my theory is that if we are truly a Pleiadian experiment to genetically father us and then have us, there's the parenting right there, eh? And then have us be in limitation, but then incrementally, bit by bit, we grow and change and grow and change until we awaken to a degree and can create our reality firmly. Okay, I really think that the way things are going right now is the kids that are coming in are far more awake than a lot of us parents have been. And they're awake, they want to lead us and teach us to see life differently. And I think that's a really hard thing to mother as well. Goody, you're on the air. I just want to say one thing. The Bible says, and I'm not a Bible person, okay? I'm a student of spiritual truths, and I look at the Bible sometimes. But the Bible says that the meek shall inherit the earth, and the children shall lead the way. And every now and then I think, well, that's kind of an interesting line. These kids that are coming in, being wide awake and being able to see, hear, know way beyond, they might be leading us if we as parents can handle that. So I'm glad you called in. You're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Veronica. I'm rescuing
Hi.
You.
You're rescuing me from myself.
No. I think you need to send yourself lots of love and forgiveness, because the way I look at it, we didn't know about all of this then. At least I didn't. And
no, I didn't.
I
too. Thank you for that.
Yeah. And it's interesting. One was, I had a private schooling, the oldest, and he's more rigid, I think, because of that. And the middle one has come out in recent months and quite openly talks about being multidimensional. And sees different things and talks. And when he first said it, and he mentioned hearing voices, of course, I thought, you're hearing voices. Okay, my counseling background said, and what are they telling you to do? And, I mean, he knew what I was asking. No, Mom, I'm not nuts. And then he was seeing some things, and I kind of woke up, and I seen some things. And it's really interesting to talk to him, because he gets experiences where he wakes up in the morning and is confused, or he'll say, oh, what are you guys doing now? And he explained the other night, I'm not being nosy, but I'm needing to ask because I sort of went on another plane for a moment, and now I'm back, so I didn't know what was going on. I had to check in because I was in this other world.
How old is he?
He is 25, and he's a twin.
Oh,
and
my.
His twin is into music, and at first I kind of liked him in this one band, and then I thought, you know what, I want to love these kids and just leave them be who they are, whoever they are. And it's tough to do, but he's doing his own stuff now and his own music, and he's very, very happy. And a reading I had, they brought it up, and I hadn't said anything, so she knew. And they said he was brought in because the dad's line is very rigid, and this kid is hilarious, and he breaks all the molds. And he was brought in to destroy that rigidity. But it's interesting when you're talking about children, because my granddaughter, who is just turned 5, is very like, oh my God, she's got so much energy, but she's very, this is what I'm going to do, and I can do it. I can do anything. But she's very like...
My grandson, who's 5, is like that as well.
Oh my God, she's very commanding, and it's now. It's not 10 seconds, it's not, don't catch your breath, it's now. Do it now. And just
wonderful?
Seems very self-assured. You know, so it's interesting.
Are you enjoying...
And they're great teachers.
Are all 3 of your children different? Very different?
Yeah, they all each have their own unique personalities. Even the twins, they have that telepathic link. They can tell when one is in pain.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, when they were born, the nurses witnessed that, and one nurse said, I heard of it, but I've never seen it till now. One was crying, and the other one had a blanket off, so she went to put the blanket on the other one first, and as soon as she put the blanket on him, the other little one stopped crying.
Oh, my, isn't that wonderful? Things are
like
they
that,
identical?
Yeah. No, they're not. They're fraternal. They're fraternal.
But they are empathic as can be, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And do they understand
really
each other? Do they protect each other?
All 3 do. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, very close. Very, very different in their own ways, but yet respect each other and very close. And because our paths catch up to you, you think after, I was raised Roman Catholic. until I went to the confessional one day, and I did something. It wasn't really bad, but I did something, and the priest called the house and told my mom. And then I thought, you know what? I don't really care for that. I didn't feel good about that. And then when I looked at my church, all of a sudden things were changing. People who were gay come out, and people had loved these people before, and all of a sudden they didn't like them. And I thought, wait a minute. The Bible says we should love everyone. That's really the main message amongst some of the other stuff. So all of a sudden you love someone and then you hate them just because they've changed? Mm-hmm. Like, what kind of message? That's not a message of love. So I did not force the kids to go to church or anything. We decided that they could choose their own beliefs.
Mm-hmm. But they're actually quite spiritual.
Yeah.
Are they not? They look like it.
They are. They are. Mm-hmm. But I think it was allowing them the freedom of choice.
Mm-hmm.
And the youngest one who's in Sweden, he's not as, you know, I just think he'll come into his own when he comes into his own. He's not quite as, I believe he has the multidimensionality too, but mm-hmm. he's not quite ready to deal with that yet
mm-hmm.
because they've all seen different things, or I know the twins have for sure. I don't know about the oldest boy because he doesn't say too much about that.
So you have four kids?
Pardon?
How many children do you have?
Three.
Mm-hmm.
Twins.
And, you know, has it been hard for you to help them be authentic? It doesn't sound like it.
No, I probably drive the middle one nuts because the other two are out on their own, and he's kind of home because of economic circumstances where we are. But I, you know, I'll bug them to death. Well, what did you see? Well, what did they say? You know, well, what's it like? And because I'm trying to do different things, I don't know how well I'm succeeding, but I do work with, I have worked with Jackie and her team and different, you know, bits and pieces I try and pick up. And I just find it fascinating.
But it is fascinating, and it is time for, and I do have to say goodbye, except that it is really time for us to awaken into all that, and it's coming for you. You look like you've got quite a bit of spiritual energy around you. You've got quite a bit of channeling potential. Do you know that?
That's what people have told me, and the funny thing was that one time I tried to cut it off. And after I started getting into this stuff, you know what I thought? It's like Captain Kirk. You know, let's get in the driver's seat and just jump off the cliff and see what happens.
And the thing about being conscious is my guides always say this, about 95% of the job is clearing old fears, thoughts, and feelings.
Yeah, and that takes work. Your room. You know, mm-hmm. But it's worth it. But anyway.
Oh, it's the job. You're evolving like mad, and I really am grateful for your call. Thank you so much.
And it's a great
family.
Show.
All right. Take care. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
I know. That was a wonderful call from a listener. Are there any more of you are going to call? And what I wanted to say, too, about the awakening children, I feel like they're connecting with one another around the world as well. And it's like we have to stand back and, like the caller said, she has got herself to let them, or especially the one in music, let them really explore what it is that they want to be doing, because through that comes the happiness, and through that comes the evolution of the species, because we have to be. This has to become a much more entrepreneurial society, I think, in order to evolve out of the kind of the constrictions and the corruptions of the systems that we've obviously outgrown consciousness-wise. And I really feel like we're evolving into almost a different species. Which reminds me that my Tuesday night show, Paradigm Shifters, we're featuring again the wonderful Bruce Lipton. He's got a book called Spontaneous Evolution. And that book is really quite something. And the last time he was on, it was only a few months ago, I think it was November, he was really excited talking about spontaneous evolution and how our makeup was, our genetic makeup, our cellular makeup, and everything was changing, and that there was going to be a huge shift. I think, Bob, did he say over the next year? Yeah, or this year? Oh, good, we have a caller. But anyway, I'm going to line up that, listen to that show, and find out what the next section of his talk is, because he hated to finish, because he wasn't complete, and this whole thing of how we were going to do a quantum leap. So let's do a quantum leap and put you on the air. Good evening. Hello? Are you there?
Hello?
Hello?
I can barely hear you, sorry. I just want to let you know, my name is Diane, and my daughter is named Mabel Rose. And when she was about 4 years old, she looked at me straight in the eye, and she goes, Mom, you're a really good mom, but last time, when I was your mom, I was much better at this than you are.
Oh, no. How did you feel?
Incredible. And I got to tell you, if I go into any area where there are people that are enlightened, and I go in there, the first thing they say is, where is Mabel Rose? I know my job in life is to get her to people. And you have to be okay with that. And it was really nice that other woman called, but what she really should be doing is saying to her grandkids, what do you see or how can you grow? And be much more positive about what the ability is, because these kids today are just wild.
I know.
There's so much out there, and I am so blessed. I know my reason in life was to bring her in.
Yay! Well, how old is she now?
She's 14, but I'm almost 50. I didn't have her till I was about 32. All of a sudden, I went, I need to get pregnant. And I just literally, that's pretty much how it happened. And, yeah, it was just really nuts. And when she was about 4, another enlightening day, I said to her, I said, you know, kiddo, when you were really little, before you were born, how did you pick me to be your mom? And she looked at me, and I said, no, seriously, I want you to think about it. Before you were a baby, when you were just that little light in the sky. And she goes, oh, that was easy. She goes, to tell you the truth, I knew Dad wouldn't be a really good dad, but I knew you were going to be a really good mom, and you really wanted me. So I just decided to go to you.
Aww.
I mean, to come up with something like that. So, and I see this all the time, and it's just, I mean, she's a beautiful soul child, and it's just, and it's tough, but you got to do it, and you got to let them do what they got to do. And I don't know what else to tell you, but people just need to listen to their kids.
I love that. That's exactly right. I thank you for your call because it's very stimulating. Thank you so much.
And thank you. And you have a very good evening. Thank you.
You too.
Bye.
All right. Good night. I also want to remind everybody, if you haven't seen it, look at The Last Mimsy. It's a kids movie, but it's kids that are following the prompts and knowing what it is they have to do. So even though it's a little bit trite compared to that last caller's call about her wonderful daughter, it's really inspiring. So this is Veronica Entwistle, and what I want to say is if you can stay on at 8 o'clock, tonight is going to be Jackie Silvitti, ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness, and I get to be Jackie's co-host, and I also get to interview the team. She usually has the team channeling for the last half hour, and it's really fun and very exciting. I'm not sure what they're going to talk about tonight, but we'll find out. So if you can stay on, do that. And again, I'll say Bruce Lipton talking about spontaneous evolution and a huge leap we're making in our cellular structure with our kids, with our families, with our consciousness as a species. It's going to be on next Tuesday night at 8 p.m. here on BBS Radio, wonderful BBS Radio. All right, thank you so much for listening. Thank you, callers, for calling in. Thank you all for being a part of the Radiance by Design global radio community. This is Veronica Entwistle saying if you'd like a session with me, email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. That's ENTWISTLE.com. Veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. Otherwise, I'll see you at the top of the hour with Jackie's show. Thank you for listening.